This is episode 130 of Drunk on Comics, brought to you by InkWhiskey.com.
Why, did you get drawn in another comic?
Actually, I did.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, that was not what I thought you were going to say, but
okay,
that is a big week for you.
Well, not your normal comic book, but a comic strip.
Okay.
So, if people want to see it, they can go to Facebook and look up Bird Pants.
Okay.
And how do I... Damn it. I hate the new operating system on my iPad because I still don't know how to use it. But, no, on Bird Pants, a friend of my girlfriend's, you know, longtime friend, he draws this cartoon called Bird Pants. And it was... and I've met Trevor. It's Trevor McKee is the artist and writer on this. The really, really funny comic strip. But he... And I think it's birdpants.com, too, if you want to go check that out online if you don't want to do the Facebooks. But this was... The idea of the strip was based upon when Mel and I went to Big Lots here a while back, and they had all the Christmas stuff out. And they have, like, the little singing, dancing little characters. They had like, a little wiener dog, they had a snowman, they had a kitty cat, whatever. And
you had to touch all the buttons and make them all go on at the same time?
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's what this comic strip's about. And, you know, how it would be wrong for her to hit me in the head with a baseball bat when I do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because that's something guys do.
Yeah.
You see a bunch of buttons, they make noises, you're going
to
push them all.
I look at it this way. If you don't want me doing that, don't take me to places that have those things. So, yeah. So, yeah, I guess there you go. You guys can go check out Bird Pants, and you'll see it's this week's one on there, and I am going to double-check and just make sure that it's birdpantscomic.com.
All right.
Go there and check it out, and like his page, because his Facebook page has not been up for too terribly long, but I know last I looked, he was, like, only just a couple shy of having 1,000 likes on there, so... and I was number 500, and that was not that long ago. Like, his followers are growing quick. So, fun little comic, and it's just satire. It's like your normal comic strip. It's fun.
All right.
So, there.
That was not the direction I thought you were going to go in from pre-talking before, but...
Well, hey, I can't help it when I'm so popular. Everybody wants to draw me their comic books, you know? So, no, no, it's just a big week in books in general for me. Like, I had a huge stack, and I haven't had this big of a stack in a while. The last couple weeks have been fairly slim, it seems like.
How many did you get?
20-ish.
Okay.
But of those, you know, 10 to 12 were really, really solid. There were some that were just okay, and there were a couple that were, but I won't mention those.
All right.
But yeah, that's it. It made the decision on which books to talk about this week really, really difficult.
For me, I had less than that, but all amazing. So,
oh, like all amazing, huh?
Yeah.
Like what was it? Was there like some amazing, like maybe some amazing Archie?
Archie was one of them. He was quite amazing.
Was there like maybe an amazing Batgirl?
Yep, she can be. Yep.
Was there amazing Punisher?
I like just how Batgirl is almost the exact opposite of the book that, because girl, man.
What?
Bat, spider.
Oh, yeah, bug person. Yeah, yeah. Those
bats eat bugs.
Bats eat bugs. Yes, they do. Yep, but you know. Then again, if a spider and a pig can be friends, Charlotte's Web.
Oh, yeah. Well, I thought you were talking about Spider Pig.
Oh, the Spider Ham.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay, so here's something else, which, speaking of Spider-Ham, I know this is not where where we intended to go. Oh, by the way, welcome to Drunk on Comics.
Almost 5 minutes in now.
Fuck off. Yeah, I'm Derek.
I'm Tony.
And it's our weekly podcast about comic books, apparently random other shit. And
yeah, whatever we're just thinking of throwing on out there.
And news. So, there's a store out here, and I know it's a chain, but I don't know if it's national or if it's just regional or what, called Five Below.
Okay.
And there's a Marvel trivia game there that I bought for $5. And went through about 2/3 of the questions last night, just sitting there, you know, drinking with my girlfriend, and we're just asking questions and making fun of them. But Spider-Ham was one of them.
All right. How many of them did you actually know?
Probably 3/4.
Okay.
But there were some really good questions. I mean, like, some, like, I'm, like, sitting there going, oh, shit. You know, it's like, there were a couple that if they weren't multiple choice, I wouldn't have gotten.
All right. But it's kind of cool when you can quench your knowledge on trivia like that, and you're like, man, I know this. I'm going to own this game. And then you get that one, and you're like, okay, it's sweet that I don't know everything.
Well, and it's current. Like, it's very current. Like, there was a question on there about the name of the new Ghost Rider. Like, the newest one. And I think that book's only, like, maybe 6 months old.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, holy shit.
So worth the $5?
Yeah, except there was not a single X-Men question in there.
Conspiracy.
Absolutely nothing related to the X-Men.
Fantastic Four at all?
Yep, there's Fantastic Four. And actually, they have, like, little player cards in there, too. I didn't really care about actually playing the game.
You're just asking questions to each other. And
yeah, but the player cards, I was like, that's weird. Wolverine's not a character that you can pick in here.
Maybe they knew. He's no longer around. He's dead for good.
Yeah, well, they had Doc Ock.
Oh.
He's dead.
Yeah. Nice.
But, oh, maybe Doc Ock's a ghost. Speaking of Doc Ock, what do you got sitting over there on your table in front of you there, Tom?
Well, what I was hinting at earlier, if anyone didn't get those hints, what I'm going to talk about today for off the shelf is Amazing Spider-Man. I have two books in front of me. The first one, I just want a quick mention because it's the annual that came out. Three stories in here, and all three of them were decent, but the one, I can't help myself, really embodied Spider-Man, because the whole plot device around it was he was supposed to go home and read some scientific research paper from one of his workers at Parker Industries. He's like, yeah, sure, I'll go straight ahead and do that. But of course, he hears sirens, and he follows them, and he finds out, oh, it's just a motor accident, so sure, why not, he can go home. But he finds a cell phone. Oh man, I need to get this cell phone back to someone. And the whole story is revolving around him trying to get the cell phone back, talking to police, hey, can you guys help me out? And they're like, well, we're busy, I gotta, you know, I'm helping out this person that just got in an accident and stuff. Well, someone lost his cell phone.
Why didn't Spider-Man, why didn't he just pick it up, look for the mom or dad number and call it?
Because it was locked.
He's a genius.
That's what he was saying. Well, he said, though, if he was younger, he could have thought about it. And he's talking about how Tony Stark could obviously just get into it. He's going all around. All of a sudden, he sees then a fire happening. Hawkeye's there. They start chatting a bit. He doesn't realize Hawkeye's deaf, so he's talking through his mask, which Hawkeye can't read lips through masks. And it's just a wild adventure of him just trying to return the cell phone, going through all this other stuff. My favorite part was when it fell out of his hands. And he's like, oh no, it doesn't got a phone case. It's going to get broken. And so he quicks webs it up and grabs it back.
Who wrote this one?
This one was from Sean Ryan. Art was Brandon Peterson. And the art was good too. Like, here's him searching all over New York, tour spots, when he starts realizing it had been a tourist. Hawkeye gave him that idea. It was just a fun, random adventure that's different from what's going on in the Spider-Verse. So I just kind of had to say that one because it was so random.
Okay.
I guess that's what I'd say. It just was But it's something that I would see Spider-Man doing. Yeah, I need to waste my entire night to return someone's cell phone because that's the type of guy I am. Getting to the meat of what I want to talk about, Spider-Verse Part 3, Amazing Spider-Man 11. Now, Derek, you stopped reading Spider-Man, right?
I did. I dropped it. That was, with the pile of books that I picked up, the only big two books that I had were Batgirl and Punisher this week.
See, this makes me so happy that I'm still reading Spider-Man. And this is the first time that Peter Parker actually gets to meet Doc Ock Spider-Man. As has been known within the Spider-Man book, Superior Spider-Man got zapped through time at one point. During that time, this is when Spider-Verse was happening. So that's why, even though new Peter Parker is in his body again and Doc Ock is out of it, this is how you can have the time displacement other Doc Ock being Spider-Man. Which turns into an awesome plot device when they start saying who's in charge. When they're fighting these inheritors, Peter's saying should be the leader. He's the only one out of all these universes of all these Spider-Men that have been gathering that has actually beaten one of these guys.
Okay, so this bad guy villain in here.
The family? Mm-hmm.
That's what this guy's name is, or he's just part of?
No, his name's Moreland. This comes from an old, years back, kind of storyline, which I don't even know how exactly to say it.
It happened before.
Yes, that's the simplest way to say it.
Yeah.
No, it was a storyline that a lot of people got pissed. This was when he had organic webbing, and it started coming around these things called totems, and saying that spiders are some totem god-like, you know, creature thing, more mystical than him just getting bitten by a radioactive spider. Come on, that's what he is. You don't need to get all magic mumbo-jumbo in with it. And you had this guy who was going around and was supposed to eat the spider, take his essence out, and Peter Parker saved him. What you now have is this entire family of people who are pretty much there. This is multiversal within the Marvel Universe. They're from, like, Universe 1, the first and biggest one. The Peter Parker is actually one that spins the web within the multiverse. So this has a lot more bigger ramifications, almost with how what's going on with the Avengers and a lot of other stuff within the Marvel Universe with convergences and all this giant shit blowing up.
I thought DC was convergence.
Incursion, sorry. Okay. Whatever. Same fucking thing. Planets colliding, minds being blown. So that's kind of what's going on with the bad guys and who they are. Right now, the planet that they're on is Earth 13, where that person's Peter Parker still has the Omniforce, which if you ever heard of that, pretty much you're a god of that universe, because you're Captain Universe.
Yeah.
So they're safe in this one because whoever comes into this world, that Peter Parker is just going to zap him out because he owns the universe.
Okay, I got a couple questions here because I need to clarify a couple things. Okay, first, Dan Slott still writing?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a reason that these bad guys want to kill all the Spider-Men?
There's just that
they're just
bad in that they feed off their essence. Okay. Like, they're totems. That's what I said. It gets into this whole magical thing that I don't know all of what that involves, but pretty much what they've been doing is when they eat them or whatever, you kind of see like a soul getting sucked out and essence getting rotten. So that's their whole shtick for what they're doing. So what I was going back to like 10 minutes ago when I was saying they finally got to meet. And when Peter's saying I'm the first one that did it, Superior Spider-Man's like, well, my team has been kind of kicking these guys' ass. What they more recently found out is these people are pretty much immortal. You kill them, their spirit goes to some hyperbolic chamber where there's another body being made. So they're trying to figure out how that's going on to try to finally beat them. Superior Spider-Man is, you know, saying I should be in charge. So they have a fight, which is always what happens before you team up and you can be happy together. And all the other Spider-Men are pretty much watching this go down, betting on which one's going to win. You would think Superior would win, which he was going to. This is the key part why I love this book and the writing for it. Peter Parker Spider-Man knows that Doc Ock Spider-Man is a past reflection of him. Peter Parker knows he's now, he's present, he is the new and current Spider-Man. Knows all that Doc Ock was in his body and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows Doc Ock is displaced. If he were to kill Doc Ock, being his earlier body, Peter Parker wouldn't be here.
Right.
Superior Spider-Man doesn't think he's going to lose his body. Doesn't even know that this is future
right.
Spider-Man. He thinks this is a past version of him before he became Doc Ock. So right at the end of it, where they're fighting over if you'd have to kill someone or not, Peter goes, all right, then kill me, and just stops. And then all of a sudden, Doc Ock kind of goes, well, no, because if you're my former self and I do that, then I will disappear. And then all of a sudden, leg kick to the chin, Doc Ock's down, Peter Parker wins. Because Peter Parker's got the upper hand knowing where it is. So when it comes to continuity-wise, I'm loving this because Superior Spider-Man is going to eventually come back in time if you can follow the whole timeline of things. It's hard to explain.
It's Marvel.
But it's so good. Within here, you have you obviously read the Gwen Spider.
Yeah.
And how one of the previous book, Spider-Man did not, or Peter did not want Gwen to go off on one of the teams, mainly because he cares too much about his Gwen. In this, they said, you know, we need to stop cowering, we need to stop hiding. And she goes, you know, how she lost her Peter, so they're going to kind of look after each other. What you have within these books, though, you see these different teams going off to different parts to figure out what's going on. One of them goes back to the bad guy's home world to do some reconnaissance. Some other ones are in the future trying to dissect the body of one of the guys that they killed, but even though he's alive again through a new body. And each one of them, you want to keep reading the story, and then it says, check it out in Spider-Man Team-Up, or check it out in Scarlet Spider-Man, or check it out in you know, Gwen Spider-Man. And it's like, son of a bitch, this is making me have tie-ins to other books, which is the first time I've ever said in a big series like this, I actually am going to have to go out and read those other books, mainly because of
I saw these other
things.
I'm flipping through, and it's like all of a sudden there's like major art change, which I didn't realize Olivier Coipel was doing art on that. Like you were, you know, it was open in front of you, and I'm sitting there going, man, that fucking artwork is shiny.
Oh, there's a lot of different people that are doing art.
Well, yeah, but inks, but he's doing pencils.
Yeah, this that page in particular was also one other point that I really wanted to talk about within here. You have what they call younger version Spider-Man, who looks kind of cartoony because he's a younger Peter Parker.
Yeah.
Kind of how he would have been drawn back in the day a bit with the... what's the other universe? Not Miguel.
Ultimate?
No, yeah, Ultimate Universe.
Miles Morales.
Yeah, Miles. They're going off on a team together. And they go to a Earth 67, which is just pastels, kind of cartoony looking, because this is cartoon Spider-Man.
Yeah, it's more of the Spider-Man and his amazing friends slash, like, you know, Steve Ditko, John Romita style.
And what I love is that these two are drawn how they normally would be in their universe, looking at this universe as, this is really weird. Like, that can't be the Daily Bugle. Like, what building in Manhattan only has 6 windows wide? That's crazy. But you think about it, you look back at some of those old books, that was how they would draw a skyscraper, and you would never notice or think, yeah, only 6 windows wide, that's not a skyscraper at all.
Yeah.
So it's those small things that I need to now follow Spider-Verse Team-Up #2 to figure out what's going on in this world, because it's so out there that it seems it's fun to read. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm not even going to give away how these bad guys kind of attack this world and now shit's going, getting real. The whole book, the whole series, the extra team-ups, everything within here, they're just phenomenal. It is a really coincisive book, especially when they, in each issue, you have the teams then kind of come back in reconnaissance and kind of explain enough. So even if you didn't want to read what they did, you're going to get a sense of what they did when you're reading the main Amazing Spider-Man. But to get that a little additional extra, which this teases you too much, I think, it doesn't just say, oh, yeah, you know, you might want to read this. It's like, no, you need to read this because you're so invested in these characters now. Hands down, one of the best series that, or events that I've read in a long time.
See, this one, I don't mind because it's not, to me, that this is not as much an event.
Yeah.
There are tie-ins.
Yeah, it's like, it's a huge story.
Arc, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there are tie-ins that, you know, go to other books, but now there's a number of Spider-Man books, so I get it. I'm bringing that up for a reason, because we'll talk events later. But, all right, non-event book this week is Thor number 3. And Jason Aaron is still the writer on this, and Russell Dauterman is doing arts. Matthew Wilson is doing colors on this, and VC's Joe Sabino is doing letters and production on here. For anybody that's not familiar, Thor, as we know him, can't pick up the hammer. He's got hammer dysfunction. And, you know, he can't erect his hammer anymore. So, new female Thor.
What?
Yeah. She comes along, and she is now able to pick up Mjolnir and wield it. And she clearly has an identity to hide.
I was going to ask, have they explained who she is yet?
No.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Here's the thing that I just need to
guess
say.
Guess why I'm still buying the book, though.
I was going to say, you picking up Thor, never in a million years would have thought you would still be, after the first issue, picking it up. I mean, I just don't. They never see you as a Thor guy.
I'm not.
But maybe you're a Thor girl.
I am. I'm a Thor girl in a Thor world. Anyway. That's terrible. But, all right. So this one, she's been fighting a bad guy that owns, I think, Roxxon Corporation.
Okay.
And he's actually a Minotaur.
Oh.
And
secretly?
Yeah. And
why not?
Malekith is here trying to get the skull of the former king of the Frost Giants back, because the Frost Giants need it, because without their old king's skull, they've lost their vim and vigor.
Okay.
It's basically what it is. I'm making this real simple to understand. It's much better written than what I'm explaining, so. But I just kind of want people to understand what's going on, because there's a lot of different, there's people fighting all over the place. Now, in the first issue, Malekith got the upper hand on Thor, literally, and cut his arm off. And what's disturbing is that he's still lugging around Thor's fucking arm.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's quite interesting when you see him coming up to the new Thor, or the new Thor, female Thor, and he's got Thor's decapitated arm over his shoulder, and he's like petting it. Like,
that's kind of creepy, but awesome, I guess,
yeah,
for a bad guy to have something like that.
Yeah, you know, so it's like, so this issue is primarily about her trying to find out the extent of her powers. So while she's separated from, you know, her trusty little hammer, she's still very unsure of what the extent of her own strength and abilities are. And while she's separated, her powers actually begin to fade, and you actually start to see that her mask and, you know, whatnot is actually fading off of her.
So she's actually turning back into the counter, her other alter ego, her self that she was before turning into Thor Girl.
Correct. Whoever her secret identity is, it seems to be, like, actually, like, just dissipating from her.
I like that as a plot device within this, because you can't do that anymore with Thor. I mean, he used to go turn into Blake, whatever I think his name was.
Donald Blake.
Yeah, Donald Blake. Which, back
then... That was a trivia question, by the way.
Nice.
Yeah.
That, it used to be able to... And that used to be kind of his secret identity, but Thor is Thor, regardless of if he has a hammer or not, as he is now, he's always been the god. So it's kind of cool to say, yeah, this chick might not be Asgardian, she may not have any superpowers, she may just be human.
Yeah, and she is... throughout this, she's definitely, you know, like, I mean, she talks in here about the fact that the hammer gave her strength. So she might be worthy, but she doesn't have the power.
God blood or something.
Yeah. So I think with that being said, I'm guessing that it's probably not Thor's mother.
Oh, what? Was that a theory?
Well, yeah, that was... In the very first issue of this, you know, she was saying that somebody had to be Thor and blah, 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 and then all of a sudden this chick walks up and, you know, happens to be blonde and happens to know right where the hammer's sitting and picks it up and, hey, guess what? I'm Thor. You know, so, it's a very interesting one. And then the fun part, and here is a spoiler, guess who shows up on the last page?
Who?
Thor.
What?
Yeah, with his new, like, artificial arm.
Mm-hmm.
And he's pissed. He's pissed at female Thor saying, give me back my hammer, biatch. You know? But he's saying in Thor Vedica, so it's a lot nicer, you know, the way he does it. But
I'm trying to think of how you would say that, like, giveth I believe backeth said, that hammereth bitcheth.
I believe he just says, unhand my hammer, woman, or know the wrath of Thor.
Oh.
That's what he says.
Okay.
But, yeah, and I will say that, you know, Jason Aaron did a really nice job on this book, though. I mean, for as much as I kind of, you know, I played it down as far as the story and what's going on, there's a lot of stuff going on in here which helps to move the story along of who the actual characters are. And... Everything from, you know, you're very much along with this female Thor for the ride, because you're learning what she's capable of at the same time that she's learning, and that's a really nice device to be able to use to get you to feel some attachment towards that character, which is probably why here I'm still reading at issue 3.
See, I'm just really curious who this person is now, and it's got to be someone from his past. It's going to be like a reveal of, if you've been reading Thor, you're going to be like, oh, but I can't think of any blonde chick.
It's Spider-Gwen. That would be awesome. Just
yeah, just really throw it out there. Like
Just total random, yeah. I don't know. I mean, there's a ton of theories as to who it could be.
I was also thinking it was the chick that he dated for forever.
Lady Sif?
No.
Lorelei?
The human girl.
Oh.
Because I'm thinking...
Jane Foster?
Yeah. But she
Jane
didn't
was
have,
a brunette, wasn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah. She didn't have blonde hair, so that kind of throws it out. But as we're kind of seeing, we don't think this would be an Asgardian if she's going to lose her strength. So I'm thinking human something or other.
I'm thinking somebody in S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, okay.
Oh, dude, what if it was just Dazzler?
I was just thinking, like...
Actually, no. See, that ruins the whole... Damn it. The licensing between Marvel and Fox ruins everything, because it can't be any it won't be any mutants. So
maybe it's an Inhuman.
Yeah, but who's it gonna be?
The only other Valkyrie, isn't that her name? She's a blonde, but she's Asgardian, so I don't feel that she would be all of a sudden being weak because she's strong.
Although then again, who knows? It doesn't necessarily have to be a blonde if the power that's given to her
just turns you into a blonde haired.
Well, yeah, like I mean, it like you see her mask and all that dissipating. So why couldn't it change her hair color and appearance?
Yeah,
I mean, for all we know, it could be the little Marconi girl from Spider-Man.
Okay, it could be.
But then again, that's a Sony property, so probably not. Damn it. Get your shit together, people. I need continuity within my universes. All right. So, that was Thor, number three. I guess I did have three big two books. Okay. I forgot about that one when I was looking at my stack there because it was what I was going to talk about, so it was not there. All right. Should we do a little news?
Yeah, I got some news. Something that I
before we do that, only because it ties right in.
Okay,
if this is all right, there's reportedly still a chance that Spider-Man could appear in Marvel Pictures.
Yes, and I remember when you were telling me that I didn't believe you because I had read the story about the hacks that happened at Sony. If you haven't heard that, then you're living under a rock. Like. Sony Pictures got a bunch of important things, passwords, social security numbers, emails, and everything, movie leaked stuff, all out there. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that was uncovered was these emails between Marvel and Sony, pretty much showing Marvel putting out an olive branch saying, hey, we should really work together to try to make this happen. And it... From what I remember, the memos were saying, or the emails were saying, was Sony was kind of like backing out of it, like didn't want it to happen. So I'm quite happy to hear that because of this.
There's a chance, according to Latino Review, that some of the higher ups at Sony are saying, hey, this is worth looking at again.
Yeah, especially because the buzz that got around it was... Really, I mean, now that a lot of people are now knowing it's not happening, they're kind of all sad. They're kind of like, well, shit, that's not good public opinion. And if it can be lucrative for both of us, why not? Yeah.
Well, and you know, according to this Latino Review, Sony wants to put out really good quality pictures. And, you know, Marvel has been top of the food chain when it comes to quality, you know, as far as the movies that are putting out. So potentially good news. And I think... Hopefully, if Marvel and Sony can work something out, that maybe Marvel and Fox can work something out as well.
Yeah, and that would be really cool to start seeing people work together.
Well, and I think, you know, it's a lot easier with the Marvel-Sony because it's basically it's one character and his, you know, and his posse and, you know, rogue of villain, you know, or it, whatever. Why am I blanking on words?
Sinister Six?
Well, yeah, but all that. Anyway, the words will come back to me later.
Here's something interesting, because how I've brought up multiple times of the whole Marvel conspiracy of them trying to distance themselves from the film-type groupings of things, like saying, no, this is still under Marvel House, you know, so we're going to cancel Fantastic Four or stop talking about X-Men and all that stuff. An interesting thing from one of the books I read this week, kind of tying into what you were saying with the Fox and having, you know, them work with Marvel to try to have X-Men in their movies and stuff. As we know, there's the fight over Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver because they're mutants, so they're in one, but they are going to be in the Avengers. In the book that I read this week, Access, it's a small thing. I don't know if it's supposed to blow up later on.
I saw this.
She does a curse on the line of whatever of her, you know, bloodline. And Quicksilver is the only one that falls down. Magneto does not. And then that's when she kind of has the reveal of, we're not of your bloodline.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Which has always been, they're the son of Magneto.
Yeah.
Is this going to all of a sudden retcon their... mutant abilities, that they're not really mutants?
Oh, no, they can still be mutants.
But I'm saying... But they just... I'm doing the conspiracy theory here, Derek, that Marvel, in the comic books, are going to retcon that they're truly not mutants. That Magneto just said they were mutants.
That they're actually...
just superheroes.
They could be inhumans.
Yes.
Yeah. Somebody online brought up a point of, with that whole thing about the happenings in Axis. Where's Polaris fall into this?
Oh, yeah.
Because that's supposed to be Magneto's daughter as well. So
maybe shooting blanks?
Yeah, I don't... That is interesting, though, because with the whole, you know, Marvel and all that, and you're talking about, you know, at this point, it's a... What Marvel says, you know, versus what Sony says. And, I mean, really, the only real question is, what does the Fox say?
I can't believe you went there.
Yeah, baby, I got it. I can't believe... Dude, you brought up the... Well, you know, and the Fox says... And I was like, dude, did he just say that?
I love that song. All right, going back to what I was originally going to say. Something that I'm excited about, but I've heard backlash, is Sci-Fi Channel is going to make their own superhero show called Krypton. Have no clue what the basis of it's about, but really? Sounds awesome.
Okay, the basis is...
I'm kidding, I do... Well, I know what Krypton is, and
the basis is it's going to be about Superman's grandfather.
Okay, and I have nothing wrong with that, like...
Well, it's, The fan backlash is basically coming from enough with prequels, things like this is going to be like Gotham but worse, and basically who the fuck gives who gives a fuck about Superman's grandpa? Because does it have any bearing whatsoever? You know, I mean, like, people were kind of interested in Gotham because it was Jim Gordon's story.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least that was what it was
supposed to be. Yeah.
You know. But you're talking about, you're creating a brand new character within the DC universe that really has no real bearing on anything, because otherwise you're going to go
except back. Except for what you're going to see at the end of the series. He's frozen in time and then wakes up now. In now time, and then all of a sudden, Superman has his grandpa, and then I don't know.
And then his grandpa just goes and walks into a tornado and says, "Don't try to save me."
Yeah, that's the stupidest thing ever. But yes, I totally agree with they don't need to do. But if they're going to do something, at least they're doing something original. I don't know of a lot of pre-Superman coming to Earth stories. There's been a couple, you know, they'll talk about what was happening right before the place blew up, why it blew up. It could be interesting, to say the least. I give them a benefit of the doubt that if it's enough creative writing, you can then take the plot device of the planet as something that we all know and maybe bring some more people into that universe. But it could suck, too. So, at least they're trying.
Yeah. Well, it's... You know, it'll be curious to find out what goes on. We talked here a couple weeks ago, I think, about, or maybe it was last week, about how the Star Wars number one comic from Marvel that's coming out is set to sell over 1 million copies.
Mm-hmm.
Slashfilm.com put out an article, and I think this might be part of the reason why is that there's over 30 different variant comic or variant covers for it.
30?
30. Now, that's roughly, if whatever...
A shitload of variants.
Now, what I remember correctly, I think 12 of them are actual regular... like, variant covers. But then there's, like, you know, another 18-plus individual comic shops that have commissioned their own variant covers.
Okay.
You know, so like you always see like the Midtown Comics and, mm-hmm. you know, stuff like that, that they're doing those. Now, looking down through a couple of them, there's the regular cover, then there's the sketch variant, regular cover, sketch variant. So, you know, so that doubles up automatically. But I don't know. There is one that's actually pretty cool that looks like an old Luke Skywalker in the blister pack. You know, like the action like figure. That. Like, I kind of like that. You know, it's like... But, you know, when you have that many variant covers, of course you're going to fucking sell 1 million. Because you're not selling one copy to a million readers, you know, nor are you selling a million copies to like 750,000 readers. If you're lucky, you're probably selling, you know, the million copies to, you know, maybe 250,000 readers, if you're lucky.
Yeah, because it's not what the actual sales are from the shops, it's what the shops bought, which they're buying all these. And then those 250,000 other books are going to go into the quarter bin, and then they'll have a million readers because that's what they're going to be worth.
Yeah, it's going to be the guys, you know, the guys like me that sometimes go, oh, you know what, I really loved that cover, but I wasn't going to pay another $4 or $5 for it. Mm-hmm. So, speaking of spending...
No, I was going to say, speaking of Star Wars, one of the big reveals that happened this week were some of the names... Did you see the trailer? Of course you had to have seen the trailer.
Yeah.
Some of the people that were up on the within the trailer, some of those new characters, they revealed the names of them through special trading cards that you can try to find, like, you know, an old baseball card-looking thing.
Yeah.
Biggest one is, well, they call him Finn on the Run, the black stormtrooper in the desert.
Yeah.
So his name is Finn, so we get a stormtrooper's name. Rey is the chick that's on the speeder bike. And then the coolest name that I think is Kylo Ren. He's the one that has that cool lightsaber.
Oh, like the broadsword lightsaber?
Yeah. A lot of people are speculating then that name, because you don't know... Whoever had that lightsaber, he could be a Jedi or it could be a new Sith Lord.
Well, it's red.
Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily mean evil.
Tell me when a red lightsaber has been used by anyone other than a Sith.
Well, when they had all... yeah. I'm just saying it could be a Jedi that's a little more dark with the Force. I don't know.
Otherwise known as a Sith. That's cool.
I thought I was a bad guy too at first, but people are like speculating. Kylo sounds like a good person's name, but then they're like, but Sith Ren sounds like a bad name, and that's the biggest controversy of who the fuck the lightsaber dude is.
Yeah, well, Anakin Skywalker sounds like a good name too, but apparently when you change his name and call him Darth fucking Vader, he's not so nice anymore. All right, continue on with the Star Wars stuff. Just a quick little note. Mark Hamill is reprising his role as Trickster on the CW's series The Flash.
This is the one that I was laughing at because I didn't know there was a 90s Flash.
No, you didn't?
No.
Yeah, I mean, I knew about it, but I don't ever remember watching it. And I know it was on CBS.
Yeah, I do not remember that at all, which is... cool that he's reprising a role from that, but that's... I would have known there was a Flash show
before. Well, it was probably in some obscure time slot, like, you know, Friday at 9 or 10 o'clock.
Yeah, kind of like Constantine, which, as speculation has run rampant, why the fuck are they doing that? They're trying to kill that show.
Well, we talked about this when it first came out, we found out what the time slot was, that you know, putting it on Friday night... You know, is it a 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock
show? 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, seriously, you're making that, like, that's, you might as well have that Sunday morning at 6 a.m. You know, nobody's going to fucking see it.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter how good, I still haven't watched the show.
I haven't either. My brother has, though. He says it's a good show.
Well, your brother also has a family, you know. And has kids, and so he's at home on Friday nights right now because the kids are tiny, you know. But you and I, no, we're out doing stuff. We're, you know, and if you want to build the, and I understand. I mean, like you've got a real wide range, but you know, typically you're looking for the 18 to 35 year old market with this show. Considering the fact that the majority of people 30 and under still live with their mom and dad, they're not going to be at home on Friday night if they don't have to. You know, so, yeah, it's they set this one up to fail, I think. You know, but anyway, hopefully, you know, this is probably going to be one of those that it'll get canceled. I'll watch it, you know, I'll binge watch a season. And then I'll be like, why the fuck they canceled the show?
Some little Christmas cheer for our listeners.
No. Humbug.
Comixology is giving away 12 days of free comics. They already started a couple days ago. So sign up sooner than later so that you don't miss out on some of the other freebies. But each day, if you have Comixology, you can get a free comic book.
Yay!
And an even better bundle.
You know, here, I'm curious because I, you know, it's only been out here for a couple days. And I'm signed up for Comixology, as in I have the app, but I'm wondering if
it automatically allows,
like if it automatically gave me the comic, or if I'm going to have to go in and I'll find out. But yeah. All right, and then we'll tell people about it after it's all done.
But another amazing Humble Bundle is out. Go to humblebundle.com, and this is a mega holiday bundle from Dynamite.
I don't understand why it's not necessarily a holiday bundle.
I think they're just trying to get in the Christmas cheer.
Holiday cheer.
Yes.
Holiday.
Yes, sorry.
Yeah. Just because, like, I'm sitting here going, oh, yeah, you know, Green Hornet, the Devilers, Red Sonja, you know, the Boys. I'm like, where's the holiday part?
Yeah, well, they are saying more comics coming soon, too, so if you were signed up and already got it, there's going to be more that they're giving away. I think mainly because it's such a big, mega bundle here.
It's huge.
And maybe the holiday part, which I thought this is the first that I've seen in a Humble Bundle, is when you can get this, you can get Bob's Burgers, and you get 3 bonus copies of issue 1 to share. You share those, and that unlocks the Django Zorro number 1, which that's kind of cool to get people to, you know, incentivize to actually give away these free copies we actually gave you.
Dude, and Bob's Burgers is awesome. I don't know if you've been reading that comic, or, like, I don't know if you watch the show.
I watch it every now and then.
Okay. It's fucking hilarious. There's Tina's erotic friend fiction starts the comic every week or every month. And I'm like, this is great. But there's also Twilight Zone number 1 through 4 in here, which I know I talked about here on the show, and that, you know, we had somebody do a couple reviews for us on our website, which is good enough, honestly, to where we endorsed it so strongly that the IDW put our quote on the back of their trade paperback for issues 1 through 4. So you can trust us. Go get this one.
You mean Dynamite?
Dynamite. Yeah, sorry. Dynamite. That one, too. I Dynamite, woo.
So right now, they'll pay $15 and you'll get pretty much everything right now. But as with most Humble Bundles, you pay what you want. You pay even a penny and you're still getting the basic ones. Right now, the average to unlock the next tier is sitting around $8.59 for this package, which, fuck, man, that's less than 2 comic books. Or about 2 comic books.
Yeah. Yeah, that's ridiculous. All right, so one other quick note, which is just something I will be looking forward to. And actually, Tony, did you see the new Godzilla movie?
No, I haven't.
Okay, I didn't. I heard it was awesome. All of my friends that are Godzilla people said it was fucking great. I
heard Matthew Broderick was pretty awesome.
Not in that one. All right, so anyway, this is, you know, it did well enough here that it's going to continue as a franchise here. But Toho, the company out of Japan, is making a new Godzilla movie for the Japanese market. So that's kind of exciting, you know, because they haven't done anything for 10 years with Godzilla. And so this one's slated to come out in 2016.
I can't wait to see. I don't want to call it a cheese fest, but I feel that it's going to be in the vein of the old ones.
Oh, God, I hope so.
Where it's like, you can tell those are cardboard boxes, but I think it would be fun still have an updated.
You can see the strings on Mothra, because it's not even like clear string, it's just actual ropes. You know, that'd be sweet. All right. Tony, are you caught up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Oh, yeah. And yes.
Spoilers here, people, if you're not caught up. I actually just got caught up last night.
That's good.
I'm still missing a couple episodes, but...
You pretty much, if you've watched it now, you've got the gist of...
Yeah.
Because it started off pretty good first couple episodes. You're like, yes, awesome show. Dip down. Now it's found its stride. And the shit that they are revealing on the show is amazing.
I think for, you know, and I'm curious for people that are not Marvel fans, if people are watching this, like people that aren't in the know, how many of them are watching this, or if this is just that core group of fanboys and fangirls.
Oh no, there are, I know personally, I have some friends, they at least know, have heard of X-Men, you know, they know of superheroes, but they haven't read any comics. So I get questions from them all the time of, so what, this just happened, what's this, what was that blue alien and all this stuff. So
dude, the best thing is you could totally lie to those people.
But I don't want to. I want to tell them canon and say this is how it goes, and this is fucking sweet that they're doing this.
So there were a couple things that were revealed in the mid-season finale. I think the biggest one for the general population is that Skye's identity was finally revealed. And that she is Daisy Johnson, who is an Inhuman.
Yeah, well, yes. In the comic books, originally when she debuted, she was a secret Avenger. Old man Nick Fury had hired her, or pretty much found her, and she had earthquake powers. So her code name is Quake. She wasn't Inhuman in the book, and... when I saw that she was an Inhuman and I knew who she was, I had to go back and do some research in some old Avengers books to see, like, did I miss that she was Inhuman? It's one of those things that the writers even said, it doesn't, what they do within the movie and TV show universe is not going to be always followed from the books because it's their own separate ultimate universe, whatever. But in here, she's Inhuman, which pretty much flat out says Inhumans are now here to stay within the Marvel.
Which I will say, I liked how the cocoon worked in the show.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here's the other big thing, and big spoiler. I forget the dude's name, but I was pissed that there was someone in there when the mist kind of came out. I'm like, this dude can't be living. He's a human, unless somehow they're going to secretly reveal that. But then he got stuck by the crystals when he kicked it, started cocooning, and then he dead.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I was so happy that he died only because, yes, it shows that the Terrigenesis is fatal to humans. You have to be Inhuman to do it. Yeah. So,
the bigger one for me was you see somebody who doesn't have any eyes at all in the end of it, and you know, basically saying I'll take care of this or whatever it was. So now it's like, who is this guy? And it's kind of making people wonder, is this the Charles Soule, Ryan Stegman creation of Reader?
And that's exactly who, well, what I had mentioned to you, I was like, the guy seemed a little bit older, I thought, than what I pictured
Reader as.
Yeah, Reader as. But, you know, whatever, you find an actor that's good enough to do it. I didn't realize Reader didn't have eyes.
Yeah.
He's got those sunglasses on. You know he's blind.
Well, yeah, you know he's blind. But see, now, when we talked to Charles and Ryan back at Motor City here about a year ago, they were talking about this character and that they'd created. And Charles had basically explained it, that the character of Reader, when he was born and he developed his powers, anything that he read came to life. And people were afraid of that, because what if he read about an atomic bomb? You know, what if he read about the end of the world? What if he read about hell on earth? That would happen. So they took his eyes.
That explains a lot why he's got the, within the comic book realm, those braille things that gives him magical powers, because he's reading them with his fingers, which then gives him multiple different powers.
Yep. So, okay. So, yeah, so that, you know, they didn't really do much on the show with the character, so we're going to have to wait and see. Maybe we can get some insider knowledge, but I highly doubt it because, you know, I understand how companies like Marvel work and how they have to work, and I respect that. But yeah.
But that's what my biggest guess is, that is who it is. And
that seems to be the consensus on there. So, all right. I have one last thing that I wanted to bring up, Tony. And, you know, we've talked about how I don't do events anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The new, and this came from Bleeding Cool. They tallied it up that if you buy just the Convergence books, just the series, you're going to spend about $45.
Okay.
If you buy the series and then all the tie-ins to it so that you can actually know everything that's going on in it, it's going to be, for as little as a dollar a day, you can read all these books. Because it's $365 motherfucking dollars to buy all these books.
But see, though,
for that series.
Yeah, but that's taking every single
this
book,
is
though.
Why I don't do events.
Well, you don't need, if you don't like Flash, you don't need to know what he's doing in Convergence. I mean, who the fuck cares? If you like Batman, you can just read the Batman and still get a sense of the event happening within the Bat family.
It's ludicrous. It's a cash grab. That's my take.
Well, you know what? I'm just trying to justify all those fucking cover bad guy ones that I bought.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think I spent way over.
Yeah, okay. That. Now that, yeah. See, you're talking about the 3D covers for Villains Month.
And there's the, yeah, but I bought all the books to read them and everything.
But here's the difference in that. That was actually new stories about characters that you didn't normally get to see those stories about. That, I don't count as an event. That was a beautiful marketing scheme that sucked people like you into buying all of them and actually got people like me to buy more DC books.
True, yeah, because you bought more that you wouldn't have normally picked up. You're like, that seems interesting.
Yeah. But that wasn't an event.
Yeah, that's true. It was a marketing play.
Yeah. And like, I mean, most of those books didn't tie into this or that or anything else. It was mm-hmm. just, it was what it was, so... All right, I think that does it for me for news.
Yeah, that's all the news that I got this week.
Okay.
You got Indy, right?
Yes. Indy Turnpike this week is Deep State, issue number 2. I've been on a number 2 kick lately. Because I've come to the realization, in like Image Comics, for instance, is putting out, it seems like, 5 new fucking number 1s a week.
Yep.
And we have the tendency to talk about a lot of number 1s. Well, I've decided now that whenever
just
possible...
Just skip number 1 and just go to straight 2?
If 2 is still good, unless number 1 is so fucking insanely good that I have to bring it up, which, you know, I did with Mimetic.
Mm-hmm.
But that was also like a double issue on there. I'm going to try and go to the second issues of books that are so good that I'm still hooked and I want to come back for more. I think that's going to say a lot more. And that's what Deep State here did. Now, this book is written by Justin Jordan. Art is by Ariella Christantina. And colors are by Ben Williamson. Letters by Ed Dukeshire. This is a sci-fi book. And it has a similar premise to some other things that are going on out there. And what this is here, basically, Tony, well, and listeners, is that something crashed on Earth from outer space.
Okay.
And it turns out that it's an old Soviet craft, spacecraft. When it crashed, there was something alien inside. Something that had taken over the body of the cosmonaut that had been in there. It crashed, it escaped, and it's now like spreading in this small town.
Okay.
And it's, I'm going to be giving some shit away here. So, you know, if you guys are, you know, please don't, this won't ruin the story, but this alien being is intelligent. It's learning about us, which is creepy as shit. And as one of the characters in here alludes, it's smarter than us. And it's spreading. And that's all I'm going to say about what's going on with that. Fun part with this book, it's FBI, CIA, like, you know, secret government agency, where you have this young girl who is just being, who in issue one, is brought into this, they come and recruit her, and her partner is this old, like, older, I should say, grizzled, been on the force for a long time kind of guy. It's a great dynamic, which you see a lot, but Justin Jordan makes this work really well. It's not played out. And so she's finding out how many, like, how the conspiracies, and it, Tony, if you remember the spoilers or the teasers for this, it was all those, like, articles that had the stuff blacked out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That there's a lot more government, like, cover-ups and shit than, you know, other things that happened. And it's fun because they're talking about, like, how, like, in the first issue, they talked about how the first time, like, how when it showed us beating the Russians to the moon, how we all, like, you know, America went to the moon. They were the first ones to land there. Actually, no, we weren't. Russia got there first. And when, when what everybody saw is us landing on the moon, that wasn't the first time we got there. It was the fourth. We wanted to make sure it was repeatable.
Awesome.
Because why would we want to show failure on a global scale?
Oh, man, this is going to be the book for those people that truly believe that, and they're going to be like, this is how they're letting us know it's true.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is the, like, you know, because I know, like, our buddy Jason Westlake and Cosmic Casey, they both have their conspiracy theory loves. This, I think, would be a great book for them. But this is just a solid story. There's a hint of horror mixed in. Okay, maybe a little bit more than a hint. It's scary sci-fi. It's like Alien.
Oh.
You know, like how that was, yeah, it's a sci-fi movie, but it's a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what this is. And it's, there's a little bit of, there is some stuff in here that's fairly graphic. But what I, it's graphic, it's gruesome. And it's a little disturbing, but
it's a little nuts.
Yeah, check this book out. The artwork in here. This is a very, very interesting style because it's slightly scratchy. You know, I like scratchy, you know, and what I call scratchy. But the inks and the colors really clean this up to a level where it's got a very unique look to it. A lot of the stuff in these pages, it just pops. But yeah, definitely check it out. You know, overall, there's just good little hints in the artwork, good little hints in the writing about things to come. And it kind of reminds me of watching Lost when you're like, what's that mean? What's that mean?
I was almost going to say, have you read this twice and seen new things in it? Because it almost seems like it's a book that
I did.
The second time around, you're going to be like, oh shit, I missed that. Or they're talking about that, or they pointed at this, and does this mean something?
Well, and now
what's this number, you know?
Yeah, now I want to go back and reread issue one again.
See if there's a hatch.
Well, no, there's not going to be a hatch. It's not. It's this isn't like the bunker, you know. But no, this is. It just has one of those things in there, like the X-Files and Lost and Heroes and all those other shows, where all the little things actually tie together. It has that feel like that's what this is going to do. So. I really love this book. Go check it out. Deep State number 2 from Boom Studios. That's Indie Turnpike.
All right. Booze in the Book this week.
Brought to you
by inkwhiskey.com.
Yeah. Make and I had to bring this one up because I think there's a lot of people that are going to be getting some Ink Whiskey flasks for Christmas this year. So it's.
And if they aren't, you better start getting them for them.
I'm just saying people I know.
Oh, no, that's what I know. I got a couple for some people that I know, too. But this is definitely something that is an excellent gift. It's a conversation starter. It's
a $20 gift, and it's something that people won't stop talking about. Go to inkwhiskey.com. Check out your old school, you know, NES-style flasks. with a number of different titles to choose from. Anyway, I had to butt in because I'm excited about drinking out of my flask again.
All right. This week's beer is brought to you by Flying Dog Brewery. It is Raging Bitch.
I've had that one before.
Yeah, pretty good. It's a Belgian-style IPA, 8.3% APV. And, of course, we're going to tie that in with Bitch Planet.
As soon as you said that, I was like, I know where you're going.
Because, like the Raging Bitch in its name, you read the book and you understand why it's tied into this planet full of bitches.
Well, hey, all I know is that if I drink enough of the Raging Bitch, I'm non-compliant as well. So, there you go. If you've read the book, you know what I'm talking about. All right. Cool. That pretty much wraps it up for me, other than, I know I mentioned Batgirl and Punisher as being a couple of the other good ones that I read this week. Tony, what else did you have for last call? Things that you wanted to mention?
Really, right now, the only other two that I was able to read and half read, Guardians of the Galaxy Annual. That was fun. I do like annuals. I used to hate them. I know we've talked about it before. But I've started just to say it's just a separate... Okay, I like annuals that are good. I hate them when they're bad.
Durr.
But at least the more recent ones that I've read from some of the comic books have been just a fun, random extra.
I like steaks, unless the meat is rotten.
I'm halfway through it. I unfortunately didn't get to finish it before recording.
Which cover did you get for Afterlife?
I got the last copy at my shop, so... Oh,
yeah. I got the Andrew Peepoy.
That one's nicer. I like that one.
I love the classic Archie style with the zombies in the background. I just love them. But Synergy number 2, I did talk about issue 1 here last month. Brides of Helheim number 3 from Oni Press, Cullen Bunn. Joel Jones still kicking ass on that. Southern Bastards, another Jason Aaron book, which is quite a bit different from Thor. The Walking Dead, I'm surprised at how on board I still am with this book.
Yeah, you know, I remember there was some shaky ground a bit.
There was a time when they were about to get cut, but for whatever reason, I couldn't do it. And then huge shout out to Thomas Alsop, number 7 of 8. We got to get Chris Miskevich back on and hopefully get Pally Schmidt on the show. This book, guys, this is the only reason I didn't talk about this one is I know that I'm going to end up talking about issue 8 when it comes out. And hopefully, we'll have Chris and Pally on here prior to that, or maybe just after as well. But this is such a fantastic book. If you guys are reading this book, you're missing probably the best miniseries of 2014. So, there it is.
All right, well, that's all I got.
All right, cool. So, did you learn anything today, Tony?
I learned that sharing is caring and that good books are good and bad books are bad.
And we still don't know what the fox says. All right, guys. Keep reading your comics. We'll be back next week to talk to you more about them then. And happy Hanukkah and Merry Christmas and all the other holidays that are coming up. And go buy your presents at inkwhiskey.com. Be smart. See ya.